Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
I have a word this morning that God has given me, but I'm going to have to take the gloves off because it's not me. God has got to develop this word. So, Philippians 2 and 5. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it would not be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Amen. Let's go to Psalms 51 and 10. Amen. So the psalmist says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let's say amen to those two scriptures. We're going to work from there. I have a word this morning, and it's a little difficult. Because it's got to go first natural and then spiritual. The topic is a heart and mind transplant. A heart and mind transplant. We have to understand that once we except Christ, there needs to be a change. I have a problem. I'm sorry. If you're still doing the same thing you was doing when you were professing no salvation, and all of a sudden you have salvation and there is no change, I have a problem. I'm not going to judge you, but I just don't want to deal with you. I can't understand if you're still getting drunk, if you're still using drugs, if you're still cussing, you still womanizing or menizing. There has been no change. So the scripture says, let the mind of Christ be in you. And in the mind of Christ, we have to understand, when we get a transplant, I'm a professional on transplant. When I got my kidney, they had to do two things. They had to prepare the donor, but they had to get me ready as a recipient. Come on and tell God thank you. As a recipient spiritually, we had to say, we had to believe first God is, and Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and Jesus Christ died upon the cross for us and raised again for our sins. And he's here now that if we accept him right now, that he will save us. We also have to believe that he's coming back again. That means that we have prepared ourselves for the transplant. Yes. You put the mind transplant in. And sometimes we have to understand that the mind of Christ is different than the mind of man. Amen. The mind of Christ creates a different concept. I did a lot of listening to about the giraffe. We're going to fit that in there. You know, that giraffe, his mind is such that he eats in the trees, the top of the trees. And he doesn't eat on the ground of the jungle. We got too many ground eaters that we're hanging out with that's going to shoot you down. Because you're always up here eating up here. and they can't understand why you have a vision. The giraffe is so tall that he eats at the top of the trees. He can see the enemy from afar off. The lion is the king of the jungle, but the giraffe has the mind and the vision of the jungle. He can see further because he eats from the top of the trees where the sunlight comes in, the nutrients are at. This is what we have here. God, Jesus, mind of Christ, gives us a higher and deeper vision than we did have when we wasn't living for him. And the Bible said Christ was a servant. We don't get saved to become the boss. We don't get saved and we don't accept Christ to become higher than our neighbor. The whole concept is accepting Christ and becoming like him, oh God. Knowing him in his resurrection and also in his sacrifice. When we accept Christ, it's no more I, but it is him. Oh God, I decrease that you might increase. Lord, more of you and less of me. Move me, Lord, to make me your servant. Come on and say, make me a servant. Somebody don't want to serve at all. Somebody said, I would rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. Well, I was a fool. Dante was a fool. I would rather rule in hell. There is no ruling in hell. Living on this earth with the mind of Christ. Jesus did some things that we weren't able to do for ourselves. Well, first of all, we weren't able to love ourselves. You know, I mean, can you imagine this? This is a sidebar. You buy a pack of cigarettes for more than a pound of meat. And on the pack of cigarettes, it says may cause cancer. Yes. But you buy cigarettes more faithful than you will buy meat. Does this make sense? This is because the flesh desires to kill itself. We call it social suicide. Drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and all of that stuff. And all of a sudden, we die suddenly. Well, God has said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And so when we see this, he says he's being in the form of God. He thought it not robbery. You know what? We can be little gods if we operate in his will. It's a mindset. And then he said the kingdom of God is at hand. Most of the time they've been teaching us when you die, you're going to go to heaven. But Jesus says something totally different when he said that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's a mindset. If you surrender your life and walk in the kingdom of God and the will of God, you have the rights to be in his kingdom right now. Amen. Some of us are going through some things, but you know what? It's just training you for what God has for you. Come on and tell God thank you. He thought it not robbery you to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. When I first started preaching, I was a neophyte. Neophyte is someone that had not experienced what the suffering was to have the anointing. You got to go through something to have the anointing. Oh, I was preaching, they was calling me to come and preach, and I could hoop, I could holler during the days, I could dance, you know, I could sleep, I could wreck a house. You know, God blessed me. And I was going all around the country with Bishop Patterson. And preaching, and it put me up, and my size made people, and my voice, you know, and then I knew a lot of words. Then old preacher told me, said, put it on the floor. Don't put the words so far up here. So let it on the floor so everybody can meet, not just a few folks. And then he started telling me, said, you got a good word in you, but you got no training and no grit in you. Well, I got upset. I knew I was a preacher. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me. It is not my reputation that I'm representing. It is not my preaching that I'm doing. I'm preaching on behalf of Christ. I'm spreading the news. I'm preaching the bloody gospel. Oh, come on and tell that God loves you. And we got to love him back. You know? And so Christ said, but made himself no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. That's that mindset. When you are able to know what your purpose is. Solomon said it. Solomon said, obey. Obey God. You know, just obey God. Be the servant. And you know, there's this people don't understand about the will of God. There's the perfect will and the permissive will. Some of us have always lived in the permissive will. You know, but the permissive will has the cost. It comes back on you. But the perfect will of God is surrendering totally. Lord, can I? And then if he says yes, you say yes. If he says no, are you prepared for no? Of course, to ask me myself this week was, if we are true believers, why do we panic when we don't hear God's talking to us? And I said, Lord, you haven't said anything to me. Am I doing the right thing? And it dawned on me. Why does he have to tell you that you're doing the right thing when you're doing the right thing? You know if you're doing right. He'll talk to you when you go off. Amen? And so we look at the mind of Christ. We say, we keep ourselves ready to hear, ready to obey, ready to surrender. Oop, there's that word. Ready to surrender. Sometimes my flesh gets up, and I used to say it's my righteous indignation. But it's actually my self-righteous flesh that I have to put under control. We have to understand that God is going to allow us to go through things because he loves us. And because he loves us, he's going to chasten us. I love God because he's never failed me. This mindset. You know what you know that you know. When you're saved, can't nobody tell you that you're not. They might say it, but you know what you are in the midnight hours. When God has done something for you, you ought to be happy enough to just tell him, Lord, I thank you because I didn't have this opportunity before. There was nobody else that could do this for me. My mama couldn't do it for me. Nobody could put their hands on me. Nobody could touch me like you touched me. Nobody could love me like you love me. Oh, God, when you wrap me up in your arms. Ah, that's the mindset we need. When I need comforting, I can go to him in my prayer closet. When I need greater understanding on what's going on in my life, I can go to him. Because he's my God. And he loves me. I don't care what nobody else says. I know my mama loved me and I know my father loved me. But I'm going to tell you this. When God loves you, there is no break in the communication. Amen. He don't stop loving you because you don't wear the right clothes. Huh? Yeah. He don't stop loving you because of anything you do. Because he said, you might forget that I love you. But I will never take my hands off of you. That's what I love about it. Sometimes my mama used to get angry at me because I was me. I was just being me. But you know what? God look at you and say, I forgive you. I had a friend that did something horrible to me. Lifelong friend. And he called me last week and we talked this week. And Lord, it worked on me because I had, you know, when people do you dirt, you just kind of, you know, burnt child stares at that stove when he walked by. I ain't going to touch this no more, you know. So I was going through this in my spirit. And finally the Lord says, you know, I forgave you. You need to forgive him. So I called him, he called me back. I said, you know what, man, it's about 5:30 in the morning. I said, you know what, you're the only guy I know that I have broken up with like you a girlfriend and forgive you and accept you back. He fell out laughing. He said, that's because God put us together a long time ago. And he didn't take the human out of us. And I said, you know, that's the truth. But it's amazing how we forgive ourselves. But we're going to put everybody else on a different level of accountability. And so we look at the psalmist when he said, put in me a clean heart. Is that right? Created me a clean heart. 51 and 10. Oh God, and renew a right spirit. Don't cast me away from that presence. You know, we don't want to be out of the presence of God. Now, this is the transplant. Now, in the preparation, the donor has to prove itself worthy to be transplanted. You don't want a diseased heart. You don't want a heart that is not going to function, that's going to break down when times get tough. We don't want a heart that's been broken to be transplanted into a heart that's not working. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. We need a heart that can take something. Hallelujah. Because in this walk, you're gonna suffer some heartbreaking things. In this walk, we're going to suffer some letdowns and breakdowns, but your heart has to be fixed and your mind made up. Come on and tell God thank you. The donor has to go and prove itself that it's worthy for the transplant. And the recipient has to be prepared. Back to that giraffe. That giraffe got a neck 9 feet long. It's the biggest animal. And you know, the grown giraffes don't get killed that often. The lions kind of leave them alone. Unless they got a pack, a bunch of them. Because they can hit you with their head. Or they can stomp you with their feet. And they can run long ways. And the difference between the lion, the tortoise, and the giraffe. The tortoise got a heart this big. The lion got a pound and a half to a 2 pound heart. But the giraffe got a 36 pound heart. And believe it or not, what we go through in life, we need a big heart. Because God has put big ministry in you. God has put big things in you. You need a heart that's going to pump the issues of life. That's going to pump the things into you that you're able to accomplish no matter how you feel. Sometimes we don't want to talk about it, but it hurts so bad. But God put a heart in you. That for God I live and for God I die. You got to have a heart transplant that's going to fix you for this battle. Does this make sense this morning? Sometimes we don't understand it, but you got to get up and go anyway. Children break your heart, but you got to get up and love them anyway. Friends walk off and leave you, but you got to love them anyway. Come on and tell God thank you. This transplant has to have a heart that is prepared and a mind that you're able to accept that I'm going to treat this heart better than I treated the other one. It's like when I got my kidney, the first thing I said is I'm going to try to eat better. I ain't going to be drinking no whole lot of popping, a whole lot of stuff, you know. My wife said, are you taking care of that kidney? I said, sure enough. You need to have a mindset that you're going to protect what God has put in you. Mm-hmm. Your value system changes. When you get this transplant, he says, then restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. When I got my kidney, I found out I was going to live longer than 6 months. When I got my kidney, I began to process things, and I could eat greens and drink milk, and calcium wouldn't kill me, and protein and different things, foods, wouldn't kill me no more. And when I got, he restored a difference in me. And then he gave me a right spirit. This spirit was free. The free spirit. There's freedom in Christ Jesus, y'all. With that new transplanted heart that God has given you, the heart of Christ and the mind of Christ, you got freedom now. You can speak boldly. He said, if you do this for me, then I will go out and preach your word. Teach your word. Witness about what you've done for me. Hallelujah this morning. Somebody ought to be ready to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. All the time. Why? Because you've had a transplant. You've had a transplant. He said, I will teach transgressors. See, this is the deal. We're too busy preaching and teaching in here. I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us that come to church regular should come here to get their spirit refilled. Amen? Should come here to get like a fueling station to build ourselves up so we can go out and spill ourselves on this dying world. There's too many people dying from gunshot wounds. There's too many people dying from homosexuality. There's too many people dying. There are people spiritually dying. There are young girls that are brokenhearted because they have no concept on how to make that next move. We need to be able to say, honey, you can make it. Young man, you can stop that. You don't have to let the devil possess your body. You don't have to have this mind. You understand what kind of minds are out there now that's killing children? Raping children? Make you vigilant. But God is the answer. Jesus is the answer. He's for today. He says, and sinners shall be converted. Listen, preaching requires you, number one, to convince. Number two, to to convince, and then the Holy Ghost will, I want to say conflict, but it is convince, and the Spirit of God will convict the sin. See, you can be convinced but not convicted. So if you're not convicted, you're not going to stop what you're doing. But when the sin becomes convicted, you start asking, Lord, how can I get rid of this guilt? And then they will be converted. A lot of folks are still convinced that you got that sinner's prayer. If you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth, you shall be saved. Well, that's true, but you got to, the believing means that you're convicted to the lifestyle you have is of sin. And you need to make some changes. We got too many folks coming in on Sunday washing their conscience. Oh, God. Ain't nobody here but us. We ain't gonna run nobody off today. Washing their conscience. Doing everything they think they need to do. And coming in here and putting on the I am yet saved. Oh, wait a minute. Still saved. Yet saved mean you're operating. Still saved. Still saved mean you're standing still. Amen? We need to convince, convict, and convert. We need God to lead. We need to open up the door. This is what you have to do. Tell them. Tell the transgressor. You can't be saved unless you make these steps. Because anybody can say, I believe. I'd make a statement one time. I knew I was saved when I was by myself and didn't sin. That convinced me. I knew I was saved when I didn't choke somebody for saying something crazy. I knew I was saved. And then I started saying, you know, I'm so glad God saved me because I'd have done something different. Oh, help me, Lord Jesus. We thank God today. Then I will teach the transgressor thy ways. You got to tell them about God, not your ways, but God's ways. And sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. That's what that new heart will do. How many of y'all want to have been blood guilty? You know what? When I first started preaching, I didn't want to preach in Seattle. I'd done so much dirt in Seattle that I just wanted to stay in Everett and preach out of state. And then I started getting phone calls to come to Seattle. And then all my friends started saying, well, I'm coming to see. Because I know this was the testimony of one of the worst people in the world I know, said if this Jesus could do this for him, I know I got a chance for PSA. But here I was, not wanting to come down here. God has a use for you. Because the wrong things you used to do, you don't do them no more. And somebody needs to see a difference. My friend that was here the other day made a difference, said I saw Woodley in the pulpit. And I'm going to tell somebody something different. Deliver me, O God, thou God, my salvation. He's my salvation. Amen. Let me tell you something. Now, you might not believe this. Everybody go to church we see today is not going to heaven. I hate to break it to you like that. I'm going to tell you another secret. Everybody going to the airport ain't getting on a plane either. Does that make sense? This heart and mind transplant, make us begin to understand that you can change me, Lord, because I made up my mind. I'm allowing you to come on in and do what you said you could do. You're going to move something because I want to be moved. Come on and tell God thank you. Jesus has paid the price already. There's nothing we got to do. There's nothing we can do. Salvation is free. We need to tell somebody about this. Salvation is free. You don't have to live. You can live in it, but you don't have to live up it. You don't have to be a part of this insanity. You don't have to be a part of this world. Hallelujah. I thank God this morning that he saved this wretch like me. That he gave me an opportunity to taste of the tree of life and know that God is. God is. Somebody need to know that God is this morning. We can't move like we need to unless we know that God is. God is. When I looked at what God can do, and I began to get myself out the way, he began to show me that he is God. Somebody need to say, it's a bad situation. But God. When God moves, nobody can stop it. When God says yes, nobody can change it. In the name of Jesus today. God is saying yes right now. Whatever your issues are. He's saying, I'm going to make it happen. He's saying, I'm going to make it move for you right now. Amen. Somebody need God to move this morning. Amen. I can remember that God told me that he was going to do something. And I just knew that it was going to happen right away. And I ran out there and thought I was going to make it happen. And I ran out of money. And I started driving up to Everett with no money. 76 people on payroll. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And he said, Woodley, I got more money than you. And I began to understand that God is my provider. Jehovah Jireh. God is all-seeing God. Jehovah Nisi. God is all that you need right now. Don't go to your mama. Don't go to your father. You need to go to God today. Hallelujah. I feel my help coming on. You don't need to keep on crying about it. Just turn your face to the wall and say, Lord, this is your problem. You said you'd never leave me, nor will you forsake me. And I believe it's so. He's better than a friend, better than a relative. He's God, and there's none like him. He's God, and nobody else can replace him. He's God. Hallelujah. Sometimes I wonder why you're so good to me. I walk around, I look at my wife, and I said, 30 something years, 40 years ago, almost, I fell in love with her. And it took 30 years before we could find each other. Does that make sense? I began to understand that God has a purpose for us, and it's in his timing. We got to ask God. I heard Sister Hannah say something last week, the desire that she had. And it was scriptural. It's scriptural. It says, if you desire wisdom, ask God for it. Scriptural request. He said that he will make you the lender, not the borrower. So we don't have to be broke forever. It has to be a temporary situation. Church, this day, we need to look to each other. Because when I got my transplant, I had to stay in the house for 6 months. And I couldn't deal with nobody. I couldn't have nobody coming in coughing on me. I used to love to work in the yard. I couldn't touch dirt. I was sequestered. I was isolated. And you know what? That's when God started ministering to me. Because he filtered everything that wasn't like him out. And then he gave him a chance to talk to me directly. I wasn't worried about dying. I knew I had to die, but not today. That makes sense? Every time you get in that chair, they remind you you're going to die. But in that quietness with him, I began to understand what Enoch was doing, walking and talking with God. And then I began to understand that this is what God wants us to get back to, like Adam, walking in the cool of the evening in the garden with the Lord. We need to commune with him. Amen. We should have a mind to bless God like he blesses us. Does this make sense? This is your day to take care of that heart and mind that God has given you. How do we do this? Daily feeding of the word. Prayer and supplications. Presenting it before the Lord. If you do not get a regular diet of word, you are spiritually malnutrition. In other words, you skinny spirited. Can't take nothing. Always ready to lay your religion down. If you're not feeding yourself spiritually, if you're not living to where God has placed you at, this put you in a situation. He's put you in a situation. He's put you in a situation that you could do great things. The question is, have you accepted your heart and transplant and also what God has put in you? Because he put that, he's given you a new heart to help you stay strong. He gives you a transplant of the mind so you'll have the mind of Christ. But he's also put something in your spirit. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, according to the power that worketh within us. You got power. Yes. Amen? Amen? You know why it's power instead of authority? Power, you'll pray. Authority, you don't need to pray. God gave us, he empowered us. He empowered us to pray so that he can give us and we can do what he wants us to do. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. How many of y'all know what you're supposed to be doing? You got to start praying and ask God to reveal yourself. Amen? And then give you some courage. God don't want no chicken saints. I'm just going to tell you. He don't want no chicken saints. He said, gird yourself up. Put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Does that make sense? Because you're getting ready to go do battle. They're going to persecute you for his name's sake. And this is how Christian is. We want to be like Jesus. Now come on. That's a great desire. Yes. But really, that cross, he took him to the cross and they hung him high and they spread him wide. They tortured him. He laid his head in the lock of his shoulder. They pierced him in his side, and the blood, talk about the transplant. The blood was the transfusion. That blood that fell from Calvary, from man to man, was part of the transplant. You got to have the blood. Amen. Come by to say the blood. You got to have the blood of Jesus. Amen. Flowing through you. He died that we might live. He died that we might be able to speak life. Amen. Into somebody's life. That blood is part of the transplant because it's a transfusion. The blood washed my sins away. Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then there was 500 that said they saw him rise. We needed the resurrection to justify. The 500 said they saw him rise. As I often say, I wasn't there with the 500, but I was there when he rose in me one day. That Christ that died on the cross is coming back again. That Christ that laid his life down for folks that hadn't even been born yet is coming back again. He's looking for a church without a spot or wrinkle. Say, I'm the church. I don't have to have a spot or wrinkle. I want to be ready whether you come or call in the name of Jesus this morning because he transplanted my mind. Oh, I know I've been changed. How? He changed my mind. He changed my heart. Oh, God, he changed my walk. He changed my talk. I know I've been changed. How? This morning, I'm glad to be saved. If I wasn't saved, y'all be breaking for the door. I thank God because he put a heart in me that I love folks now. And he put a heart in me that I challenge myself first. We need to pray this morning that we become the epistles that they spoke of, that man reads. Somebody should be asking you, as much hell as you're going through, how can you have a smile on your face? That's right. Somebody should be saying, as sick as you are, how could you have this much trust in somebody that we can't see? And all I can say, God is. God is the answer. This morning, my love is for you because I have a knowledge who God is for me. This is the place God has appointed us to be. Let's commit in our hearts and we bring somebody. Pastor got good word. Let's pray for the church. Let us stand.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.